All right, I'd like our ushers to come forward at this time. And today I have a handout for everybody. And let's see, who could help out? Let's see, ding, ding. Hey, Doug, can you go and see if Miss Terry can bring us a box of pens, a couple boxes of pens in case people don't have something to write with? We can pass those out. Thanks, Doug. We'll get those to you shortly. I'll have you raise your hand. But you know what? We've been doing this series on the Holy Spirit of God. And this is summertime now, and I thought, what would be a great way to start the summertime off, a little bit different from our typical services on Sunday and preaching and everything. And I thought, you know what? I think it would be great for a few weeks just to revisit the idea of spiritual gifts, what the Bible says to us about spiritual gifts. And so that's what we're going to do today. You'll notice at the top of the page, it's called An Overview of Spiritual Gifts. And you can turn in your Bibles, if you'd like, to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I probably shouldn't have used light blue PowerPoint up there. It looks kind of bleak. Sorry about that. Should have used dark, but I'll remember that next week. So in a minute, Doug will get back. And then what I'm going to do at the end of the service today, you're going to be able to take home a test. And during the summertime, I'm going to give you three of these things to take home. And if you've never done it before, you'll definitely want to do it. It doesn't take long. And what you'll get is you'll get a booklet. It'll have questions in it, and it'll have little blanks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In each blank, you're going to put a response. All right? And it's very simple. It's like A, B, C, or D. And what'll happen, Doug, did you get some pens? Okay, Bert, can you get a box of these here? And anybody that needs a pen, Doug, Bert, you'll go down this aisle over here, and Doug and Bert will be looking for a hand, and they'll pass a pen down the row. No, Doug, take a box. You're going to need one to pass that row. Oh, you got another box? Okay, good. Okay, Bert, then you can come down on this row. If you see anybody with a hand raised, they'll be happy to get a pen to you, yes. But anyway, when you take the test, let me just encourage you at the end, and maybe we should pass it out so you can see what I'm talking about. But on the very last page of that little test that you're going to take, it's going to help you to understand what spiritual gift you have. There's kind of like an answer key. So do your best not to look at the very last page, because that way it'll lower the strength of you taking that. And we'll do those a few times this summer, and it's just something you could do in your own time, but it'll be very profitable to you. All right? All right. Real good. And hey, let's give a big hand to everybody that decorated, all the time they spent yesterday decorating. You know, I was on vacation last week at Disney World, and I thought, or the week before, I thought that when I came in here, I was in Disney World again here in the lobby. That was impressive, man. I came in there and all those globes, that was great. Lots of planets. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to jump into this. What is, okay, we're going to define it later so you can put it in your notes, but what are we talking about spiritual gifts? Okay, every time a person puts their faith in Jesus for his free gift of eternal life, they become a child of God. That very moment, there's so many things that happen, we don't even realize it when it's happening. In my office, I've got a book that I've gone through the Bible, and right now I've got over 50 things that happens to a person the moment they believe in Christ. One of those 50-something things is that every person who gets saved gets a spiritual gift. You get a spiritual gift from God. Now, I'm not talking about the gift of eternal life. That's a different gift. I'm talking about you get a special gift, a special enablement from the Spirit of God to do service for others. And so we're going to start laying out this first by going through 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and then we'll look at the outline for this morning's lesson. Okay, so let's read together. It's right there in your notes. I'm not going to put them on the screen since you have them there in your notes. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, so what we got here is that Paul wants God's people well informed about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. That means mute. They couldn't talk. Okay, our God can communicate to us. But the people that were worshiping statues and idols of gold, silver, and other material, they were dumb idols. They couldn't hear, they couldn't talk, they couldn't do anything. It was just a hunk of metal. You know that you were Gentiles, you were pagans, carried away to these silent idols, however you were led, however it came to pass, however you got involved in that. So when the Corinthians were unsaved in worshiping idols, they were easily led astray. They were easily deceived. Okay, verse 3. Therefore I make known to you, okay, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. What does that mean? Okay, the gift of prophecy. In the early church people, because the entire Bible was not yet written yet, God wanted to reveal truths to his people. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. In the early days, they had just the Old Testament. And so God would give prophets because they were under the New Covenant. Now, they weren't anymore at the very death of Jesus. They weren't under the Old Testament. Now they're under the New Testament, the New Covenant. So they need prophets. They need God to be able to speak through human beings. And Paul's saying, Corinthian church, you've got prophets in your midst. Now, oh, it's not up on the screen, sorry. Verse 3. I make known to you that no one speaking, he's talking to the whole church family, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Nobody that's prophesying about Jesus can mock Jesus, can disparage Jesus. Nobody that's in the Spirit and giving a prophecy directly from God, God's putting the words right into their mind, they will never say anything negative about Jesus. If they do, Paul says something's bad wrong, because there were false teachers and false prophets. No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, anathema, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and by this I mean not a fake profession, not somebody just saying words. Obviously, people will come to Jesus in that future day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? But they were not believers. Depart from me, I never knew you, Jesus says to them. When Paul says this, I'm sorry, verse 3. I'm always used to point at the screen because I usually have the verses up there. When Paul says nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, it's talking about a genuine profession. No one can genuinely say, Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Nobody can say that unless the Holy Spirit. And it's a true profession. It's not a lie. It's real. Nobody could do that except by the Spirit. Okay, now, Paul says here, there are diversities of gifts, different gifts, but the same Spirit is the one who gives all of them. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What's the manifestation of the Spirit? Well, obviously, it's a Christian person allowing the Spirit to flow through them and to use the gifting he's given them to profit other people all around you and that person. That's the manifestation of the Spirit. 4, verse 8, for to one is given the... Now, Paul's going to list some of the gifts. Now, this is not an exhaustive list because there's other passages. We're going to look at them this morning, or at least reference them, that you can find the rest of the gifts in. For to one is given the word of wisdom. And by the way, I also want to add that this summer, we're going to do one day. And one Sunday, we're just going to define every single gift. We're going to go down that list and say, this is what the word of wisdom means. This is what the word of knowledge means. This is what, you know, some of them are straightforward, some of them are not. Okay, so we're going to define them. There are differences of ministries. I'm sorry, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. Should have been translated languages. That's really caused a lot of problems in the last 150 years or so, ever since the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s. By translating glossolalia as, like the old King James, as tongues, which they understood back in 1611 to mean languages, but that doesn't mean that today. Now, tongues means ecstatic languages, like they're not actual human languages, like Farsi or like Hebrew or Aramaic or German or French. Nowadays, this word's morphed into, do you speak in tongues? Okay, and they have, it's an esoteric language, okay? That's what it's come to mean. So here where it says to another different kinds of tongues, it's better that we see that as languages. To another, the interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Notice how potent and how over and over the Spirit is mentioned here. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now that he, who's that he referring to? Distributing to each person individually as he, who is that? Holy Spirit of God, right. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's the gift distributor. The day that you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God said, I'm going to give that person this gift. That's their personality, that's the way I made them, and this is how I want them to minister. And it's one of these gifts that's listed here. Now, there are some theologians that make up gifts. You can find their lists of gifts, and they've got a list that's like a mile long, and they just decided, well, if people in church can do these kind of things, so I'm going to invent a gift. But we got to stick with Scripture, okay, everyone? Okay, so let's look at this outline for this first lesson. I got it there for you. Today we're going to talk about, first of all, I'm going to define spiritual gifts, because we've already done that, sort of. Number two, we're going to look at key passages. Basically, I'm going to give you the Scripture. You can go back and read them later. I'm just going to give you the reference and say two things about, like, really quickly. And then we're going to focus on the purpose of spiritual gifts. Okay, now the definition of spiritual gifts. John Wolverd, he was the president of Dallas Seminary, said spiritual gifts are divinely given capacities to perform useful functions for God, especially in the area of spiritual service. Okay, so a spiritual gift is God giving you an ability, a capacity to do a certain function. Like, for instance, okay, if you were around in our church when Pastor Ben Jordan was here, you'll notice, I could tell you right now that Ben Jordan had the gift of exhortation. He didn't do a lot of teaching. Like, he didn't say, well, this word in the Greek and this word in the Hebrew and this phrase. And like I like minutiae. I like digging down below the surface. I'm not saying Ben was shallow. I'm just saying when he got up, he was up here telling stories. I mean, man, he was, man, the whole time, man, he had you on the edge of your seat. And he went from one story to another. In this book I read, and it was very encouraging, very exhortational, very motivating. Why? Because he had the gift of exhortation. He had the gift. Now, my gift is teaching, so it's more like, to see, I hand it out, you have to fill in the blank. I'm like a teacher, you're like a student, and I'm teaching you things. So God's got all of those different gifts. Like, by the way, those of you that were there then, you realize that our church needed encouragement greatly at that time, and God had his man there for the perfect season there. Hallelujah. And by the way, our founding pastor will be here in 2 months from today. He'll be here on the first Sunday. This is the first Sunday. No, second Sunday. I'm sorry. Actually, it's not 2 months exactly from the. He's going to be the first Sunday of August, August 4th. He'll be here. It's our 30th anniversary as a church. And Ben's going to come and speak that day. It's going to be wonderful. All right. So, Dr. Wolverd said capacities. What about the New American Standard topical index? It says spiritual gifts are the particular endowments given by the Spirit to all believers that enable them to serve others for the building up of the church. There it is again. He's endowing you with a special ability. Now watch this. Let's say right here is the day you got saved 10 or 15 years ago or 5 years ago. You didn't know what it was. It's something you have to be taught. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, Paul said. I don't want you to be that way. I want you to understand them so you can learn your gift and use it. And you can be a blessing to others. Okay, now what about key passages relating to spiritual gifts? Key passages. Okay, there's four passages. Like I said, we'll go real quickly here. The first passage is 1 Corinthians, what we just read of, from 12 through 14. Three chapters. Now, you'll remember 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Love suffers long and is kind. Love never fails, so on and so forth. It says all those things about love. If you don't love, if you can speak with the languages of angels, angels have a certain language, like it's not English, but it's not Hebrew. They speak their own language. They got an angelic language. Paul said, if I could speak the language of angels, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I could do this and this and this and this, he names a bunch of things, and I don't have love. See, what he's saying to the Corinthians is, hey, Corinthians, listen, you've got every gift, spiritual gift under the sun. Your church has every single one of these gifts represented. Your church can do everything. You've got all the gifts. But he says, Paul says this, listen, they're worthless. And you know what? I thank God for our church, because you know what? Our church, we have got love. You know what? We love each other like a family. It's unified. There's no dissension, no bitterness, no anger. If there is, we squash it. We crush it. Okay, but anyway, what I'm saying is, love, Jesus said, the greatest, or Paul said, the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, love, the greatest is love. And in Jesus, God said, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second one is like it, love your neighbor. You get it. So right in between, it's like an Oreo. Chapter 12, spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, spiritual gifts, better do them with love. Chapter 14, spiritual gifts again, more information. Okay, next, Romans 12, 6 through 8a. Now it's real important that you underline that little letter A, because in our English Bibles, it looks like Paul's giving you more gifts in the second half of verse 8. In verse 9, it looks like he's listing more gifts, but he's not. There's definitely a break in the Greek there. And unfortunately, in our English Bibles, it just didn't get translated out of the Greek very well. And so it kind of looks like he's just continuing to talk about spiritual gifts, but he's actually talking about things that we should all be working on, like mercy, generosity, and so forth, okay? Those are for the whole body, okay? Okay, that's Romans 12. Let's see, I wanted to quote back on the last letter A. I meant to quote real quickly, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. Our spiritual gift is to profit everybody around us. Romans says something like this, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. That's in Romans 12, 6. Let us use them. Did you hear that, everybody? You all have a gift. Now you need to learn what that gift is, because God wants you to use your gift. If you're not using your gift, you're not what God wants you to be. Okay? Super important. Next, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift. That verse is huge, because by the time Peter writes his epistle, he clears up. I think there may have been a little bit of misunderstanding, but Peter clears it all up. As each of you has received a gift, one gift. We don't get two gifts, we don't get four gifts, we don't get 10 gifts. Now let me tell you something. The apostles had all the gifts. Paul worked miracles. Paul healed. Paul raised people from the dead. Paul spoke in tongues, spoke foreign languages. He would go to certain places and he didn't know the language. And because he had that gift, the Holy Spirit allowed him to speak that foreign language without former training. He had no training in the language. He could speak it. He had all the gifts. The apostles apparently, we're not told this, but apparently Paul's doing all these things that are gifts. So apparently the apostles, and by the way, there were only 14 or 15 apostles. Okay? If you include James in Galatians, where he hints that he was an apostle, then you have 15. Paul and Barnabas were apostles, the Bible tells us. So you got the 12, Paul's 13, Barnabas is 14, and then another guy named James, he's maybe 15, but that's it. Okay, and I'm going to go into that. You say, Pastor Bob, are there still apostles today? Because you go to Island Past churches, Pastor, Apostle James C. Cook. Oh, Jim, I'm sorry, where's Jim? Are you... Is his middle name start with a C? That was just out of my... Okay, good. All right, so different Jim Cook. Okay, so it's just... What I'm saying is they put the title apostle on the church sign. That's strange because, you know, apparently the Bible said there's only X number of apostles, and it even shows us that the apostles were going to only be there for a while and then they were going to be done. Okay? So anyway, we'll get into that later down the road. Now, you say, Pastor Bob, okay, I know that there's that article there, A, as each of you has received a gift. But do you have any other scriptures that are going to amplify that? Because that's one place. Well, let me tell you from Corinthians. When you're reading 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Paul says something along these lines. He says, we're all the body of Christ. We're all Christ's body. We're members individually. Okay, we're members of the body. Some people are like hands, some people are like feet, some people are like ears, some people are like eyes. Our body has different parts and they all perform different functions. Think about this. Paul said, if you're a hand, what would you be without a foot? And if you're an eye, what would you be without an ear? Okay, you see what Paul's saying there? You can't be an ear and an eye at the same time. And you can't be a hand and a foot at the same time. Why? Because I know we have two hands, but I'm just saying, in our bodies, there's a hand, there's a foot, and you get the idea. There's an eye and an ear. An eye can't be an ear at the same time, and a foot can't be a hand. So that Paul's bringing that out in that metaphor, and so he's basically hinting that, hey, some of you are going around and trying to perform all these gifts and act like you've got all the gifts, but you've got one. And so Paul was trying to help people and see, you're a special part of the body. You know, some of you are like the backbone of the church. Man, you carry a load on your back for God's people. Okay, you get that. And some of you are, like I said, teachers. And some of you, the Bible says there's the gift of helps. You know what? You really don't want to run something. But let me tell you something. God has gifted you to say, hey, listen, I'll help you do anything you need me to help. Okay, you get that idea? That's the gift of when you're helping, you're not leading, you're helping. Okay, you get that? So there's the gift of helps, and many people have the gift of helps. They really don't want to rule over something and be like, okay, you're the head of all the small groups. Too much. But thank God, in the body, God puts the members where he needs them to be. We're going to talk about that here right now. Because in Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, it says this, and you don't have to turn there, but it says, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective, notice, by what every joint of the body supplies. All the different joints in the body, all the different joints in the church, they supply something to the rest of the body. Absolutely, that's what we do. According to the effective working, this is Ephesians 4:16, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You build up love by using your gift. When you're helping and you're letting the Spirit flow through to help others, it's edifying the entire body of Jesus in love. And you know what? In God's mind, He can't think of a more wonderful thing for his entire body, both in each individual location and around the world, for us to love one another. Doesn't mean we have to believe the same thing. That's impossible. For everybody in the world, now I'm not talking about how to get into heaven. If somebody doesn't understand what the Bible says about that, you've got to say, hey, listen, you're not thinking clearly, and help them. That's a foundational thing. I'm talking about secondary issues, okay? People have, they're not right, okay, they're not moral. They're not right and wrong. People have differences, and we still need to love one another, okay? You get the idea. Okay, by the way, if you have a question and you want to just write it in the margin, I'm going to do a little question and answer time at the end, because summertime, we're going to have more like class where you can ask questions, okay? All right, now we're going to number three. We looked at points one and two, and now we're looking, this is where we're going to sit for a little bit for the rest of the time before the Q&A. Okay, we're going to look at the purpose of the spiritual gifts. Okay, letter A is for the benefit. We've said this already. We've read scriptures here already this morning. For the benefit of the entire body of Christ. The end of verse 7 there in your notes, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each Christian for the profit of all. Did you know that, brother or sister? Did you know that you are to be profiting everyone around you in God's church by your spirit, by your attitude, by your love, and by using your spiritual gift, okay? You get that. Okay, we're supposed to be a prophet. Don't be a boat anchor. Don't be the kind of person in the church where nobody wants to be around you because when they get around you, they feel like they're dragging a boat anchor. Hey, listen, I know sometimes people have problems, but if you've had problems since 1978 and you're still coming to people and you feel like a drain on others, okay, that's not God's will, okay? God gives us problems, and then he gives us victory over the problems, and he wants you to be profitable to others and not be weighing them down and things like that. Okay, letter B. Okay, to equip God's people to serve. Now, this is a little different here, and believe it or not, I've actually changed my mind since I taught the book of Ephesians. We're going on Wednesday nights through the book of Ephesians. Robert Serrell taught an excellent lesson this past Wednesday night. I hope you'll be here this Wednesday night. Jim Cook's going to speak. Now, we're having BVS this week, but we'll find somewhere in the church, once you get here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll find a place where you all can congregate and talk about Ephesians together and interact, okay? So adults, don't forget, you're welcome here. So anyway, I've changed my mind on Ephesians 4 here, because it says here in verse 11, and he himself, now who's that? Is that the Spirit? No, because the context is Jesus. Okay, the context is definitely the Lord Jesus. He himself, Jesus, gave some, and by that I mean he gave some people, some gift, not Jesus doesn't give spiritual gifts. That's the Spirit. But Jesus, he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all become one, a mature man, okay, a mature person. Okay, so notice, at the end of verse 12, I underline for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So the Holy Spirit, the day you get saved, gives you the gift that you've possessed since that day. But Jesus comes and he looks at all the individual local churches. And he says, you know what? That church needs some more teachers. And so he gives the church teachers. Or he looks at a church and he says, you know what? That church could use some more administrators. And so he gives people with the gift of organization or administration. Or he said, that church could use more helpers. Jesus, it says here, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Those aren't gifts. They're titles. They're people. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay, so you got five different kinds of people there. Those aren't spiritual gifts. Those are gifted people God gives to the church for the perfecting. Does it say perfecting? For the, yes, for the equipping. I'm sorry, the old King James says the perfecting. Here in the New King James, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to serve. Ministry, hey, that's deacon in Greek, for the ministry of serving, okay? Serving, serving, serving. So you got gifted people. Jesus is the one that's planting the people where he sees fit in the body. But the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts, okay? But still, these men are and women are using their gifts to edify the body. And so that leads us to letter C. Purpose of spiritual gifts is that very thing, to edify. In verses 15 and 16 there, if you look down to what I've underlined, I've read this earlier, by which every part does its share, causes growth. That's edification. If you build an edifice, if you build a building, it's being built up. It's being built big and tall and strong. That's edifying. It's an edifice. Every part does its share and causes growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love. It's becoming mature. This past Wednesday night, when we were interacting about Ephesians, I brought out the illustration of a bobblehead. Y'all seen those bobbleheads you can get at the state fair, right? They got a great big head and a little tiny body, okay? Who's the head of the church? Christ, Jesus, yeah. Jesus is the head of the church. Okay, so you got a great big head, it's strong and mature, and it's an adult head because it's Jesus. He's like, the church is like a bobblehead often, and Paul was telling the Ephesians, hey, listen, you know what? You need to grow up. You need to grow in love. You need to become like your head, because it's sort of like a 21-year-old head on a 4-year-old body. In a lot of church, you know what? A lot of churches, everyone, they're a 21-year-old head on a 2-month-old body. One time, Peter Lord, a pastor in Florida, he was asking one of his pastor friends on the phone. He said, hey, by the way, how's your church doing? How's it doing? And the pastor on the other end of the line said, 1,000 babies. 1,000 babies. What he said was, I've got a giant nursery. Yep, it's packed. But guess what? They're a mile wide and an inch deep. They don't love. They don't have mercy. They're selfish, like the church in Corinth. That's big. That's life in the big city. Every church's got to start somewhere. Okay? But that's not God's will. He wants us to grow up into all things. Okay, letter D. Edify God's people to bring unity. To bring unity in the body. One of God, Jesus' prayer is that we would all be one. In the main doctrines of the Bible, the right and wrongs, God doesn't want any wavering. He wants us all to believe the same thing. Okay? Bring unity concerning the truths of the New Testament till we all come in the unity of the faith. The faith. And since we're New Testament believers, I'm not saying the Old Testament isn't for us. We can definitely profit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, but we're New Covenant believers. We don't go back to Leviticus and say, okay, it says here I can't wear wool and cotton at the same time. Okay, it says here I can't eat pork. Okay? And you know what? Now, it's not to say that eating a lot of pork may not be good for you, but I'm just saying in the old times they couldn't touch it at all. There were all kinds of rules. When we read about the faith, till we all come to the unity of the faith, we're talking about New Testament core teachings. We have to be one. And you remember the old quote, boy, let me see if I could remember it. Maybe somebody can help me. Augustine, he said in, you know what quote I'm talking about where he says, the end of the quote is, in all things charity. How does it begin? That's what I get for not writing it down. It says at the beginning, Let me paraphrase it, okay, because I know what he says. Paraphrasing is like, in the very important foundational truths, in those things, we have unity. In the In essentials, unity. We can't believe differently. Hey, do we all have to believe that Jesus is God Almighty? Yes. If we don't believe that, we're heretics. Do we all have to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Yes. Do we all have to believe that there's only salvation through his atoning death on the cross and our belief in him alone? Yes. Those are non-negotiables. If you have a Christian friend that doesn't believe those, you have to help them along to believe it. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And those are the things that aren't right and wrong. Okay? You shouldn't listen to that kind of music. Now, look, if it's full of F-bombs, you shouldn't. But I'm talking about, let's say a person wanted to listen to jazz. Oh, you shouldn't listen to jazz. Or something like that. That's a non-essential. Musical tastes and things like that. Okay, again, I'm not talking about awful, horrid music that nobody should listen to. I'm talking about different styles. There's liberty. One person likes this, another person likes this. Lay off, let them like that. Okay? If you want to live in a 77 square foot house, if they like that, let them like that. If you want to live in a big house, let them. You get the idea? You know how some people are buying those new houses that only have like one room and you know, you're living in like a dog house, right? You've seen them on TV. And you know what? Some people like that. Don't look down on them. That's their call. That's their call. If they want to live in a 100 square foot house, let them. Say, God bless you. I don't like it. In fact, my back's breaking because the ceiling's only 4 foot high. Okay, good. But you get the idea. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Love. Thank you, brain. Thank you, Lord. It was in there, but the thing wasn't connecting. Okay. All right. So we got to have unity. Letter F or E. Spiritual gifts, the purpose to help God's people know Jesus better. You know what? We all ought to want to know Jesus better. Well, I already know him, Pastor Bob. I know him well enough to get along. No, we need to be growing. It says here in Ephesians, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of God. Till we all come to the knowledge of God. To really, really know him like he wants us to. The next letter is F. Maturity. The gifts help us to find maturity as we're using them to encourage one another. Especially the leaders. We're going to bring the church around us to a perfect man. And again, don't think in terms of, this is a generic word, a perfect person. The church, God wants the church to be a perfect entity, a perfect person, a mature. That word perfect means mature, not perfect like sinless, a mature person. Not a bobblehead with a little tiny body on it. Did I need to kneel down? No, I don't think I did. Okay. With a little tiny body. Okay, not a giant head with a little tiny body. A giant head with a great big strong body. That's what it's talking about here, where it says to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Man, just to be full of Christ and to experience his fullness. Okay, letter F, I missed that verse there, verses 14 and 15. It's so important that we should no longer be children. But speaking the truth in love, okay? What are we supposed to do, everybody? We're supposed to share truth with one another, the truth of the Bible, the truth of God. But you know what? Not in an ornery way. As we minister to one another, say, hey, you know what? Do you mind if I share something with you? Don't take it personally. Okay, you get the idea. If you do that, people will listen to you. If you're haughty and arrogant and you want to just blow them out of the water, that's not good. That we should no longer be children, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Christ. Okay, letter G. To protect God's people from false teaching, just a few more here, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, that's why it's so important here that I teach God's people, because I want you to have the right beliefs. Doctrine is beliefs. To have the correct doctrine. You shouldn't be blown around with all kinds of beliefs. And young people, listen to me. When you go off to college, unless it's a very strong Christian college, you're going to go to a place where everything you've been taught growing up, they will throw it all out. And they'll tell you you're idiots, and they'll tell you that you're Neanderthals and stupid to believe those things. So many kids come back after their first year at college, and a lot of them come back and they're agnostics. They don't even know if there's a God. And they may be atheists. They don't even believe there's a God. After being in church for 18 years, in 2 months, they're suddenly atheists. Why? Because it says here that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching or doctrine or belief. Don't let them put their beliefs in you. Stand up. You know, I have a blessing, and I can think of both of my daughters doing something along these lines where their professors were calling into question what they were taught when they were growing up. Man, they raised their hand, and they'd say, you know what? I struggle with what you're saying, and here's why. And they would say it back to the professor. Elite college. And you know what? They weren't going to just take what they're saying at face value. They're going to say, hey, but that doesn't make any sense. Because ta-da, 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 ta-da. I like that. Young people, you ought to be able to do that. You ought not go off to college and then tell you something and they go, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, don't do that. God's word is right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how it starts. He's the ruler of everything. That's why we've got all this. We're going to be teaching the kids all week long. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. All right? All right, quickly. Let's see. Glorifying God. Okay. So he's going to protect you from false teachers. And you're going to glorify God. Letter H. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I won't read the whole passage. Letter I, to convict the hearts of the unbelieving. Now, this is real important. Why were there, in the early church, why were people in churches able all of a sudden? Now, you got to realize they weren't churches like this. They were sitting around a table having the Lord's Supper. They had a dinner. Before dinner, they took the cup, like Jesus took the cup. They took the bread before dinner and broke it and passed it around and had the Lord's Supper. Then after that they had a meal. They all brought food. And then after that, they had the cup. After the meal, they took the cup and remembered the blood of Christ, and they shared the cup. They were small, and at the end, there were questions put to the leaders in there, and they interacted a lot. Okay? Now watch this. Under letter I, we're talking about why did some people in those churches have the gift of being able to speak a foreign language? Well, here's why. Because people were traveling through town. And when they found out that they were having church over here at this house, they went in there, they had dinner, they were very welcoming in that day. They would come in, they would say, hey, have a seat here, take the best seat here. And the guests were well taken care of. But they find out the guy's speaking some foreign language. Well, guess what? There were people in those churches that could speak that foreign language, and in that small context, they could say, ta 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 ta. You say, what language is that? I don't know, Pastor. I'm just saying, you know, okay, I could speak a little bit of Spanish, I could do that, you know. Mamá, tía Luisa, ¿cómo gritos, hijo? Okay. Anyway. But, see, that doesn't profit you, but it would profit that person if they needed to know how to get saved, and the person with the gift of languages could talk their language and bring them to Christ. Okay. So now, but I want you to notice something about that. Why? Why did God do that? Look at verses 21 and 22. In the law it is written, so it's a prophecy, with men of other tongues, other languages, and other lips, I will speak to this people, Israel. And yet, For all that, they will not hear me. So in the Old Testament prophesied that there were going to be people speaking in different languages to the people of Israel. They should have said, oh, look, this is what Isaiah talked about. People were going to be speaking other languages. Wow, God's at work here. But guess what? They didn't listen. They would not hear me, says the Lord. Look at verse 22. Therefore, tongues, languages, this is the biblical description of tongues. Tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Okay? So why did God give languages? They were a sign to unbelievers that God was in the house. Okay, it's just that simple. That's the there's only one reason the Bible gives for the gift of languages, and that was it. It was to be a sign to unbelievers in the nation of Israel that Jesus was indeed the Messiah and they need to get saved. And when they would come to those little Christian get-togethers, they would hear people speaking in foreign languages. They knew the Old Testament. They should have put two and two together. Oh my goodness. This guy who is a Hebrew is speaking a foreign language, and they should look at that and believe. Okay. All right, let's wrap it up here. Was that the last one? Okay, one more. Letter J. And it's on this one. Okay. The last one is letter J, to validate the message of the apostles. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Okay, so that's, by the way, everybody, that's the first road to spiritual trouble, neglect. When you start neglecting, you're going to have trouble. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders. Why were the apostles able to do miracles? Why did they all have the gift of miracles? God bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts, plural, gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God was using those gifts through the apostles and some of the church members to bear witness, all right? By the way, I'm going to throw something out here that you probably may have never heard before. Nobody knows who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I can tell you this. All the people that say that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, this verse right here disproves it, because it says right here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us? The guy that's writing it is the us. It was confirmed to us, the writer of Hebrews, and those who are getting the book of Hebrews, by those who heard Jesus. The writer of Hebrews never heard Jesus personally. It was confirmed to him. It couldn't have been Paul, because Paul heard Jesus personally. He's saying, I got this secondhand, but I'm under the inspiration of the Spirit, so this is God's word, so hallelujah. So we don't know who it was. Okay, before we dismiss, let's do this. Let's ask some questions and answers. Does anything come up in your brain that you said, Pastor Bob, I'm going to have a heart attack if I don't get this answered? Is there anything? Yeah, and Gary, let's get those tests ready for everything. Anything come up in your mind? They're going to pass these tests out to you here at the end so you can take it home with you. Okay, any tests about spiritual gifts? Did you all draw a little eye, you know, like eyes on your eyelids, so when you closed your eyes, it still looked like your eyes are open? Three Stooges used to do that. They'd close their eyes, and they had eyes drawn on the back of their eyes, so it looked like they were awake. Okay. Okay, yes. Okay, Glenn.
New member of the church.
Yes.
Originally you said that God placed the people by title, teachers, pastors, whatever. The Holy Spirit's given the gift, and you said that teaching is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. So, did I just clarify my own question?
Sort of, yeah. Glenn, it's not difficult. Basically, okay, so a person has teaching, and And that one is both a title because, you know, like, for, okay, watch this, Glenn. I can be a pastor and really not be a teacher. You know what I mean? Like I was, okay, so just, and by the way, probably most of the pastors in the early church were not very good teachers. They weren't teachers. And the Bible puts a real strong emphasis on those leaders of the early churches being hands-on kind of people, being people that are caring. They're doing more caring than they were doing teaching. Nowadays, 2,000 years later, it's reversed. There's a big priority put on teaching, which is fine, but you got to rule well too, the Bible says. Those who rule well are worthy of double honor. Okay? They teach and they rule. So, anyway, what all that to say, Glenn, is this, is that, you know, I think that you answered your own question that, yes, a whole lot of people may have a gift of teaching, Glenn, but like certain teachers wouldn't aspire to leadership, okay? They may have the gift of teaching, but the way they do their teaching, they don't even say teach in a Bible fellowship class, but they might have neighbors over and just share with them things they've been learning. So it doesn't have to be like the official teacher title in the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers. That was like he's the teaching pastor. Do you get the idea? God's people can have the gift of teaching and not even use it in a sense within the body. They could teach a small group at their house. In that sense, they're using it in the body. But again, yeah, so I wouldn't want you to what they call bifurcate those two terms, because they're related and yet they're not identical. Okay.
I have the gift of fellowship because it involves eating.
All right. And that's a hint to me. He said, I have the gift of fellowship. First of all, Jeff, I have the gift of discernment and you're a liar. You don't have the gift of fellowship. You just have an empty stomach is what you've got. So anyway, you set yourself up for that one. All right. So, but I have the gift of eating too, so let's have a word for it. Now, when you leave, don't leave without one of those tests, okay? Doug? Yeah, just leave your pens on the pew, and we'll pick them up. Yeah, so that way we can pass them out next week or leave them in the pews or whatever. So, okay, so don't forget tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Did you have a question, Marilyn? Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. That's a good question. She said, everybody has one gift, but certain people are multi-talented. Okay, they might be able to do 8 things well, right? Okay, they might be really good at, like, construction. They might be really good at organizing. They might be, yeah, and that's just exactly what they are. They are self-taught talents that they've learned from maybe a parent or an uncle or aunt, and they've learned them well, and they're really good at it. But our spiritual gift is just, when you do these tests, it's very interesting how, when you'll do them, there are certain ones in the test that you don't have hardly any. You answer those questions, you don't ever go there. But on other ones, man, they're really, you're answering a lot of questions that fall into certain of these categories. And that's how doing these tests throughout the summer, you'll be able to say, wow, look at, in all 3 tests, my top one was... The very top one in all 3 tests was this. So that doesn't prove it, but it gets the wheels turning. And you can go and get counsel from others and say, go to the leaders. Hey, what do you think? My test looked like this. What do you think about that? Do you see that in me? Okay. So that's a great question. Okay. Hey, so don't forget 6 o'clock and the workers. Let's see. The workers are at 5. Yeah. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to have dinner. We're going to have a devotion together. And then we're going to teach the kids. So, all right. Hey, everybody, pray. Pray for VBS. Pray for VBS. People will be coming from all around here and from apartments, and we want to just see God do a great thing in the lives of these kids. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would take this word this morning, Lord, and just throughout the summer, just build upon it in our lives, and then by the end, say, of July, when we finish this up, that we will be well acquainted and not be ignorant of spiritual gifts like the word says. Lord, bless your people. Open doors for them to be your light and salt to this dark world, Lord. And we pray it in your precious name. Amen.